Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Very important short text there, but contains a very important thought, and I'd like for us to look at that tonight. Would you bow with me in prayer? Loving Father, we surround thy throne at this time to give praise and glory and honor unto thy most holy name. We are so thankful, Father, that we can be thy children, that we can have the hope of eternity with thee, that we can have the fellowship with thee here upon this earth, and the hope of an eternal fellowship and closeness of union with you throughout eternity in those mansions that Jesus has prepared, that he's promised that he's going to prepare. We ask now that you'll be with us as we study thy word together. Forgive us of our sins, in Christ's most holy name. Amen. I don't know who you might consider to be a very wise person. Maybe the wisest man in our state or in our nation. I'm sure you could get various answers if you were to ask, who is a wise person? And you might think of someone who is very wise when it comes to making and keeping of money. And in the financial world, may be a very wise person. You might think of some person who's very thrifty in regards to the spending of money. You might think of some person who has a great deal of knowledge and understanding. And to be able to talk to them, you can recognize that this person is a person who has studied and learned. Or you might think that the person is wise who has the most fun, who has a great deal of pleasure. Or maybe it's the person who has adapted to life and his circumstances in life and is able to cope with severe and extreme circumstances of one kind or another. But in God's word here, God says the man who wins or the man who takes souls for God is wise. I've never really considered myself to be a wise person. I remember a few years out of high school being invited back to speak to the baccalaureate service for the school where I graduated. And I told him I made no pretense of having some special wisdom to give to people, because about all I knew was what I knew, what I was able to read and understand from God's word. And, you know, as I think about that and the years has gone by, there is no other place to obtain a greater wisdom than from God's word. We may not be wise in the financial world or in the political world or in the world of assets and investments or in the field of education. May not have a lot of degrees and initials after our name. But to the person who is fluent and effective and understanding of God's word is a very wise person. But here God says the one who wins souls is wise. Wisdom is not just knowing something, is it? It's putting knowledge into practice and applying it to everyday life. And the person is wise who is busy reaching out to those that are lost, winning souls and bringing them to Christ. He is wise. Not just knowing that that needs to be done. Not just knowing how to do it. But being wise is the practicing of it. I think there are many reasons why that this is true. First, because it is the work which the Lord commands. There are many works that need to be done. Many opportunities for service throughout our land. But this is the work which the Lord commands. His command was to the disciples, and one to be passed on to us, was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When he went back to heaven, he left us that work. That was his work. In John chapter 6 and verse number 44 and 45, he says, "No one comes to me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Says, it is written in the prophets, "They shall all be taught of me." And so he that is taught, he says, is the one that comes unto the Father, comes unto me. So there must be a teaching process. That's the work that the Lord has commanded us to do and left us to do. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19, the record is there of him seeing Simon Peter and his brother Andrew in the boat. They were working with their nets, evidently. The Lord said, "Follow me, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This is what the Lord would have us to be. That's the work which he has given us. The church is not meant to be just a worshiping society, not just a group to organize devotionals and to pray and surround the Lord's table on the first day of the week, not just a teaching organization, but the Lord's church must be an organization for being fishers of men, reaching out to people who are lost. In John chapter 15 and verse number 14, Jesus said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." To be a friend or to be a follower of Jesus means to keep his commandments. One of his commandments is that we be soul winners. But another reason why this person is wise is because it was the business of life with Jesus. That was the reason he came to this earth. In Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why he came. That's what it is all about. And so whenever he returned to heaven, then he left that work with us that we might carry it on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 18, Paul writes, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Here he points out how that God is the one back of it all. He's responsible for it all. And through Jesus Christ, he has reconciled us to him. And now Paul says, we have this ministry of reconciliation. It's been left with men to carry on the work of reconciling man to God. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile us to God. And now it's ours. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, he says, that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That was why he came. That was his life's work. He didn't have any other purpose. It wasn't simply to educate people. It wasn't to raise the standard of living. It wasn't to sit up on a royal throne and lead armies and conquer all of the known world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, to reconcile us back to God. He left us that work to do. Well, winning souls is the work of the wise man. For another reason, a third reason, is because it was the business of life with the apostles. The apostles and the early disciples were sent to do this work, and they went forth and did it. In this verse, which we've just read here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, speaking of the apostles and the other early disciples there, speaks of the fact that that Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what Paul was doing. Paul went on 1, 2, 3 missionary journeys doing the work of reconciling people to God. He was arrested, taken to Rome, and imprisoned there. All through the times, the number of times he was on trial after his arrest, He still recognized his work was to reconcile people to God, to win souls. And so even when he's in prison at Rome, he's still doing that work which the Lord has given him to do. And there were not any circumstances, whether it was shipwreck on the way to Rome or the bars of a Roman prison cell, it still did not prevent him from doing the work the Lord had sent him to do. In Philippi, you'll remember on one occasion, whenever he and Silas were in chains there, the earthquake came and freed them and opened the doors of the prison. But meanwhile, before this happens, they're singing praises unto God. And all the prisoners, the guards, hear them singing and praising God. And when the earthquake comes and the guard thinks that the prisoners have all escaped, and when he finds out that they haven't, Paul says, "We're all here, don't harm yourself." He comes before them because they had been doing the work of reconciliation. He had seen in these people that they were of God, and he wants to know from them what he must do in order to be saved. Nothing stopped Paul and the other apostles here from doing this work of reconciliation. The order that was given to them, same orders and instructions for us. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2, he says, telling Timothy, the things you've seen and heard of me among many witnesses, the same you commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so it's to be passed on from one to another, faithful men who will teach others. We thus inherit this work of reconciliation. When the early church was scattered abroad in Acts chapter 8 because of the persecution that was taking place there. Acts chapter 8 verse number 4 says, "They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They continued on trying to reach out to those that were lost. But let's move on. There's many other reasons why that the one who wins souls is wise. Another reason is because in it we have the unspeakable privilege of personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. Remember when he said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Or in Matthew's account, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." I don't know where one can feel closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than in the work of reaching out to people that are lost. There's nothing that I enjoy. You know, those of you who know anything about me, or those of you, some of you have gone fishing with me, there's nothing I enjoy more than going fishing. Last time Brother Jackie and I went out, we didn't catch anything. We just kept sitting, kept trying, try here, try there, try someplace else, you know. We just about broke our hearts to have to come home without catching a fish. But, we caught some little ones, didn't catch anything, but we want something bigger than that. But in comparison, there is nothing that brings greater joy than to be able to sit down, maybe around someone's kitchen table or in their dining room, to open up God's word and to look into it and see what God has to say, and to bring forth passages of scripture that have to bear upon the lives of people who are separated from God or who are in sin. There's no joy, there's no thrill like that. I can remember the time, maybe some time ago, feeling much like maybe some of you feel in trying to do that type of thing now. I can remember being apprehensive or being frightened. Maybe I wouldn't say the right thing or do the right thing. And it put pressure upon me to be able to do that. I don't feel that anymore. I look forward to the opportunity of being able to sit down with someone and study God's word. There is nothing that people need more than God's word in their lives. There is nothing that can turn people's lives around like the power of God's word. It's not what I say or what you might say if you're trying to study with someone. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And our job is simply to lift up, to open up the scriptures and see those passages and truths contained that will lead people to Christ. And what a wonderful privilege that it is to be able to do that. We rejoiced in the baptism of these two this past week, and others that have recently been baptized or restored to the Lord. What a joy, what a privilege and opportunity that we have to be able to work together with Christ and carry forth that message and that work that He has given unto us. It is truly an unspeakable privilege of fellowship and working with God. And in this passage here in 2 Corinthians, He speaks about the fact we are ambassadors for Christ. Christ cannot go in the flesh to each and every person that we come into contact with, but we become the ambassadors. We become the vessels that He can use to carry the message of salvation to people about us. Ambassadors. An ambassador we think of is a representative of a particular nation, for example, representing that nation to other nations of the world. And in those foreign nations where that ambassador might live, he is accorded a very high station and rank and considered an important ambassador, an emissary of that foreign country. And so we as ambassadors of Christ are privileged to have a great opportunity to represent Christ and to carry the message of salvation to people who are lost. But it's also wise because it brings to us the greatest of privileges. What greater privilege than to be able to lead someone to obey the gospel, to see some soul that is lost, to see people who do not know how to live, whose values have been confused by the thinking and the teaching of the world, and who are trying to find happiness and joy in things and in pleasure and things of this world. But to be able to point to God's word and to see them turn their lives around and begin to recognize that the things upon this world is not what will bring peace and security and happiness, but that these things are provided for us through a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It truly is an unspeakable privilege. James 5 and verse 20 says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I'm afraid if we cannot appreciate what it means to save a soul from death, maybe we don't have much of a picture of what eternal separation in the lake of fire and brimstone is like. Maybe we cannot understand and comprehend and can't appreciate what it means to be eternally separated from God. You know, we have things so good here upon this earth, and God so richly blesses us. But there is a place where that is all suffering and pain, anguish, separation from God. It's described as outer darkness. It's described as a place where that the fire is never quenched and the worm does not die. It's described as that place that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If we cannot recognize that this is a terrible place and it's a terrible end for people to come to, then we need to do some serious thinking. Notice three words in this passage from James. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. A soul. The value of the soul needs to be recognized. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And sometimes whenever death comes into our close family, we are shaken at the very foundation of our being. And we made aware of what death is all about and how that there are so many other things in life that do not mean anything and that are completely valueless at that time. There's only one thing of value at that time. That is to know that that soul was faithful unto God. Because the loss of that soul is a loss greater than the loss of all the world. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then death is the other word. Save a soul from death. Death is speaking of separation from God, as we have talked about. And how terrible that place will be. The worst possible life that one can think of. An existence that's continually pain and suffering, without any happiness, without any joy, where there will never be any peace or contentment. On the other hand, we can have life, that right and beautiful existence with God, and be around that crystal sea before His throne, and have all the things that make life good and enjoyable. And then the other word, I said three words, is save. To save a soul from death. To save has the idea of rescuing one from death to life. And we can have that privilege. We can work together with Christ to bring that soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved from death. I think about those men and recorded in Mark chapter 4, where that there was this man who could not walk. And four friends of him, I guess there were four of them, one on each corner, picked up his bed to carry him to Jesus that he might be healed. This man was very blessed and privileged to have such friends that would care enough about him, that would take the time to carry him to Jesus Christ that he might be healed. And how fortunate are those friends and loved ones of yours that you will take the time to bring to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can have not just physical healing for a few days here upon this earth, but eternal spiritual healing that lasts throughout all eternity. When is this one saved? The saving this soul from death he's talking about is when we convert a sinner from the error of his way. What a privilege we have to be able to work with God in doing that wonderful work. And then another reason why such a man is wise, or woman is wise, is because it brings the most abundant of rewards. Listen to Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That reward's going to be eternal, is what the Lord is saying. Too many times, too many of us are too satisfied to shine down here upon this earth. Too satisfied with just enjoying the good things of this life. Too satisfied with our existence here. Too content. And perhaps we fail to see the needs of other people because we are too content. What a privilege to be able to share God's word. The wisest man is the one who does his best in bringing souls to God, rescuing souls from death to life, converting sinners from the error of their way. I find so much pleasure in being able to preach God's word, being able to study God's word with people. I hope you do too. And I hope you find pleasure in reaching out for souls, trying to get people to give you the opportunity. Every time I have a study with somebody, I always tell them, I'm so thankful that you're interested in God's word enough to sit down and study it together. Because God's word has the answers for life, has the answers for eternity. It can make us what we ought to be, give us peace and joy. I appreciate you so much. you allow me the privilege to come into your home and sit down and study God's word with you. And I believe that ought to be our attitude, because we're in the work with the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of reaching and saving souls. That's why I preach the gospel. That's why each and every one of us must live a faithful life, that our light must shine, that people can see our example. And tonight, if you're out of Christ, if you're not faithful to Him, I'm after your soul too. I want to see you being faithful to the Lord. I want to see you turn your life around and to bring your life in conformity to His will and have that joy and happiness that can be yours here upon this earth, and the eternal happiness and joy that can be yours throughout eternity in heaven above. If you're not a Christian this night, won't you think of surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and living for Him? Or if you are a Christian but you have not completely surrendered all to Him, won't you do so now? Give all to the service of the Lord. You're subject to invitation, then will you not come while we stand and while we sing?